This is the new 98.1 WQAQ, the best DJs and the best music, broadcasting live 24/7 from Quinnipiac University, 98.1 FM, Hamden.
Welcome you into another episode of the Marvel Sports Talk Show, broadcasting live from inside the Carl Hansen Student Center on the campus of Quinnipiac University. I'm David Marr, joined as always by Andrew Spezzano. Before we get into our rundown, we have our last thoughts on baseball. We were in the midst of our show last week, and the Atlanta Braves ended up winning the World Series. Convincing game. What was it, like 7-0 in Houston?
I believe 7-0.
Yeah. So last thought on baseball as we enter the offseason.
Man, that was an exciting postseason. And you got to give a lot of props to the Atlanta Braves. You know, they had such an up and down year. They were 44. They won 44 games in the first half and 44 games in the second half in honor of Hank Aaron, who was a Braves legend who died this year. And I thought that was pretty special. You know, they did it for him. And they were kind of a team of destiny. You know, they lost Ronald Acuna, who's their best player. He's a superstar, top three player in the game. They went out and got Eddie Rosario, who won he won NLCS MVP. He's absolutely went off. And then in the World Series, you had guys like Adam Duvall step up, Jorge Soler, World Series MVP, another guy. Him and Duvall, they picked up at the deadline. They completely flipped the script this year, and, man, that was a fun run to watch.
Yeah, and Freddie Freeman finally got a World Series ring. And that's my favorite part of this entire thing, is Charlie Freeman wins a World Series with his dad. So the Braves won the World Series. The Astros got as far as Game 6. The Braves really should have won it in 5 because the Astros just chipped away, held down by such great pitching after the first inning. But yeah, I'm excited about the offseason. We've got a lot of free agents, Justin Verlander and Matt Olson, to be named, currently in talks with the Yankees.
Yes, sir.
Potential. But we'll keep our offseason chatter to ourselves for now. We are going to turn our attention to the NBA. It's back. We're just about 2 weeks into the regular season. And we will start with the team that we thought would be pretty good to start the season. That would be the New York Knicks. They are 7-4 currently. You know, that's a pretty solid start for the Knicks. But my take on the Knicks, I watched a couple of their games. They play to the level of competition. I see them beat the Bucks, the Celtics, and the Sixers. And then I watched them lay an egg against Cleveland the other day. That's my take on the Knicks, but Andrew, you're the Knicks fan, so I want to hear your opinion on what you think of the Knicks so far.
You know, I've pretty much watched every game, and I'd say your assessment of playing to the level of competition is very accurate, especially at home. Home court advantage has not seemed to be a thing for the Knicks, because they've lost to the Orlando Magic, who I believe only have 2 wins this year, one of those being against the Knicks. No, they won their 3rd game yesterday. Then they lost to the Raptors at home, another team that they should be better than, especially because they didn't have Siakam playing in that game. And then they just lost to the Cavs, even though you got to give props to Ricky Rubio, who just couldn't miss. And the Cavs offense, too, they just went off. But the New York Knicks have looked very good, and I'm very happy with the start they've had. Julius Randle with a 31-point performance. They're 2-0 against the one seed currently Sixers right now this year. And they also beat the Chicago Bulls on the road in an impressive win. And they also beat the Bucks on the road, too. You know, the New York Knicks, they've got R.J. Barrett has stepped up. I really like the pickup of Evan Fournier. He's been really good. Kemba Walker's doing a solid job. And getting Mitchell Robinson back has really helped their rebounding, because that was something that they really struggled with last year. But they're shooting the ball a lot better. Their defense is starting to play better now that Noel's back from IR. I'm excited to be a Knicks fan right now. Bing bong.
Yeah, it was their first win against Philadelphia 2 weeks ago. First time in 15 tries that the Knicks beat the Sixers at MSG, and I had the feeling that it really did mean something to the Knicks fans because that was such an emotional win and one that I think that they've all been waiting for since probably since last year when they recognized how good they were and then just could never, ever beat the Sixers. Credit, the Sixers have been banged up, but it still has to feel good as a Knicks fan. It does not feel good to be a Boston Celtics fan right now because Jaylen Brown just went on the IR with a hamstring injury. The Celtics are 4-6. They're 0-3 on the road. And we could talk about how the offense is just abysmal at this point. But it just goes back to last season where it's all about the defense. They cannot, for the life of them, play defense. It was the problem last year. It's the problem this year. And I really just don't know where the Celtics go from here. They're 4-6, and they still haven't won a home game yet. And they have a chance to get their first one tomorrow night against Toronto, a team that beat them pretty decisively at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, no, Toronto, they can't be slept on. You know, they beat the Knicks on the road. I would know as well as anyone. But I look at two things with the Celtics. A, they've got something wrong in that locker room right now. You know, I saw Marcus Smart was upset because Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have been taking all the shots, and he was wide open, I think, in one instance. But the other thing is, the other night, they committed an absolutely atrocious foul. They could have got the ball back in a tie game or maybe even just give up a two-pointer to Luka Doncic. Instead, they end up, the Mavericks had the ball for the entire time to go. Doncic hits the step-back buzzer beater for the win. You know, the Celtics have been pretty disappointing so far, but I do think that they'll pick it up.
Yeah, and again, it's too early, and obviously injuries are a problem. We got to deal with the injuries. But Jaylen Brown is arguably, he is their top scorer, and losing him is going to be a big blow to the offense. Jason Tatum hasn't been playing well at all. Marcus Smart has talked a lot and really hasn't said anything positive. Al Horford's been back and he hasn't done a single thing. Udoka's got work to do in his first year, and obviously you could say it's a rebuilding year with a first year head coach and, you know, some good players but not great players. But the Celtics sitting at 4-6 is not where I thought they'd be at this point in the regular season. Again, I know it's early, but they got to wake up at some point. Speaking of thinking of them being where they are, how about the Golden State Warriors being 9-1 and winning 5 straight games? The only team that beat them so far is the Grizzlies, but they have beaten, they went into LA and beat the Lakers. Then they beat the Clippers the following game. They've won some competitive games against the Thunder and the Atlanta Hawks. A team that I picked to go to the playoffs was the Grizzlies, and they're the only team to hang that loss on them and only won by 3 points. So what's our opinion on the Warriors right now?
Right now, they look like the Utah Jazz of last year at this point. You know, they have the best offense in the league, and they have one of the best defenses in the league, averaging a little over 115 points per game and just allowing 101. But when I look at the Warriors, they're going to get Klay Thompson back soon. And Steph Curry is just going off. He's having a big year. But look at Jordan Poole averaging 18 points per game. He's been incredible for this Warriors roster. So has Andrew Wiggins. Damian Lee and Draymond Green have done a good job. I like the pickup of Otto Porter. He's been pretty good too. And they got Iguodala back, which helps them, especially defensively. I would not want to play the Warriors right now.
They get Minnesota, an easy game. I'm excited to see what Steph Curry can do. This feels like the year that the Warriors could make it to the NBA Finals. They've got a tough road trip coming up. They host Chicago this Friday, and then they go on the road to play Brooklyn, Charlotte, and Cleveland. And then when they come home, they have to play Philadelphia and Toronto. So interesting road for the Warriors here, and I'm really excited about where they could go. And obviously, the Western Conference is full of great teams. We still have Utah. We still have Phoenix, who is trying to right the ship a little bit. They started 1-3. They've won 5 in a row since then. The Memphis Grizzlies was my pick to go to the playoffs. So far, so good. They are 6-4. The only team that's beaten Golden State, as I mentioned before. And then LeBron's going to get healthy, and the Lakers will be right back there. So, like we did last week, we did overreactions for NHL. My overreaction already is, you know, the Atlanta Hawks being at 4-7. It's a little bit of an overreaction. I think that they've just played some good competition. You know, they lost to Philadelphia, they lost to Brooklyn, they lost to Utah, they lost to Phoenix. I think it's tough for Atlanta. And again, they're still kind of a young team, but eventually they'll get right. They'll bounce back. Being at 4-7 is obviously not where they wanted to start, but I do think that they just played some tough competition, and it doesn't get any better with Utah coming up in a couple of days. But Atlanta being at 4-7 is a little bit of an overreaction. They'll get right.
Yeah, I have one, and I'm going to look at Damian Lillard on the Trailblazers. He had a really tough start, and people were really freaking out. But he's starting to get back into form. He made 6 3-pointers yesterday, 25 points, and an impressive home win over the Lakers. I think he's going to be just fine. And, yeah, I feel like people being worried about him was an overreaction for sure.
I want to throw out one more overreaction, and then we'll get one more from you, Andrew, and then we'll move on to college football. Ja Morant, MVP so far. What he's done for the Grizzlies so far has been tremendous. He's scoring 26 points a game. That is almost double what the team has, what the second guy on the team, which is Desmond Bane, has in points per game, which is 16.3. He's played 35 minutes. He's had 5 rebounds a game, 7 assists a game. He's played some great defense as well. And the Memphis Grizzlies right now are 6-4, and they've won 4 of their last 6. You know, Ja Morant, MVP, it's starting to buzz a little bit in my mind.
Man, I love Ja Morant. He is really good. And I'm going to offer kind of a hot take / overreaction. I think the Sacramento Kings are going to make the playoffs.
Wow.
As crazy as that sounds. But I love this roster. Harrison Barnes, De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield. They got Davion Mitchell in the draft. He's done a great job for them. You know, right now they're sitting at 5-6, just a game behind the 8th spot. I think they can get in, and I think they can be tough because they do have a really solid offense.
Absolutely, and, you know, we're only 2 weeks into the NBA season, and I have a feeling if it's anything, you know, college football's been crazy, the NFL's been crazy, and it got as crazy as it's ever been this year on Sunday, and the NHL's been a little crazy, so I hope we have some chaos in the NBA. I'm really looking forward to how this season will shape out. So, all right, we're moving on to college football. We head into week 11. We're 3 weeks away from championship season and bowl season. And one team that we all thought was a good team last week got picked apart last week. That would be Michigan State. Kenneth Walker, as good as he was for the Spartans, you know, the Spartans gave up, what do they lose, 42-29 to Purdue. They just got picked apart on defense. They gave up 536 passing yards to Aiden O'Connell. They turned the ball over twice. They got outgained by over 100 yards in the game, 136 to be exact. And as good as Kenneth Walker is, he had a good game, 22 carries, 136 yards, and a touchdown. Michigan State's got to find an identity in their passing game. It didn't help that one of their receivers was out. But Purdue at 4-2 has a mathematical shot to win the Big Ten West, and they go to Columbus this weekend.
Yeah, that was a really frustrating loss for Michigan State, and you got to give props to Purdue, who've now upset 2 top 4 teams, them and Iowa, on the road earlier a couple weeks ago. But Michigan State, they turned the ball over twice, which doesn't help. And Purdue, man, Michigan State's got to figure out their passing defense. 536 passing yards with 3 touchdowns from O'Connell, who just shredded their defense. You know, that was a big win for Purdue. And, you know, you got to watch out for them because they're going into Ohio State, and I don't think Ohio State can sleep on them.
Well, Ohio State was sleepwalking a little bit against Nebraska, only winning by 9 points against the Cornhuskers on the road. But I think Purdue beating both Iowa and Michigan State will definitely give the Buckeyes all the motivation to say this is not a sleepwalk game. We've got to just play good defense. I like what I see out of their defense. It's improved. Much better every week. But this is definitely not one that you need to sleep on. The big game of the day was in the SEC. It was between A&M and Auburn. Everybody was picking Auburn on game day, and I was like, they know the game's at A&M, right? They know that Bo Nix is not good on the road, right? And it proved, because Bo Nix was 20 of 41. He was less than 50% passing, 153 yards and a pick. Auburn had 226 yards of total offense. They had two turnovers, one of which was a scoop and score by the Aggie defense, and it was the only touchdown of the game. So A&M, with one defensive touchdown that ended up being the difference. Aside from that, five field goals were kicked in this game, four by the home team, and A&M is now the favorite to hopefully be the one that catches Bama in the SEC West and go to Atlanta.
Yeah, and Texas A&M, they played a very good ground-and-pound game. They had 217 rushing yards. Isaiah Spiller with 112, he had a very good game. And defensively, they forced two turnovers, and they really just they did a great job containing Nix and the Auburn offense. That was a great win for Texas A&M, and yeah, they could pose a threat to Alabama.
And A&M is going to be the visiting team on College Game Day this weekend. They go to Oxford to play Ole Miss. The winner of that game has the good chance to catch Alabama, as Ole Miss is still sitting in the conference with two losses. Obviously, the loss to Auburn doesn't help. The loss to Alabama certainly won't help. But if they beat A&M, it should give them somewhat of a chance to catch Alabama. They would need the tie to lose twice. But A&M could be the SEC champion. And what will that get you in the SEC? A trip to meet Georgia. So I don't think that might be what Jimbo Fisher's team really wants when they go to Atlanta. They might want to, you know, and Georgia won the conference, I think, or won the SEC 2 weeks ago. They did win it earlier this weekend. After Kentucky lost, it was last week, after Kentucky lost, that gave Georgia the head-to-head, and they had two conference losses, Kentucky did. The other game in the in Week 10, so we had some close calls. Alabama, close win against LSU. You had Ohio State and Nebraska, as I mentioned. Cincinnati didn't really help their playoff case by almost gagging away the big lead against Tulsa. If Tulsa doesn't fumble on the goal line, they would have scored and would have gotten the two-pointer and tied the game. Oklahoma State didn't sleepwalk against West Virginia. Kentucky goes down. Minnesota goes down. Massively overrated team, Minnesota. But there were a lot of close calls last week. Which one was the closest call in Week 10 out of those top teams?
I really had fun watching that Alabama-LSU game. But one game that I want to bring up was that Wake Forest-North Carolina game.
Mm.
And, man, Wake Forest came into this. I don't think they had lost yet.
Nope, they were undefeated.
They were undefeated. They went on the road. And this was decided by just 3 points, 58-55, North Carolina with the win. And, you know, that's a big loss for Wake Forest, because that probably ends their chance of making the playoffs. You know, they had a shot. I really thought they did. But Sam Howell, you know, he did his job. He had 216 yards and a touchdown. But the rushing attack, 330 yards and six touchdowns.
That's ridiculous.
Chandler with four touchdowns and 213 rushing yards. They just absolutely shredded their defense. And, yeah, just a frustrating loss for Wake Forest. That was a close one. But, yeah, if we're looking at the other games, I had fun watching that Bama-LSU game. I was pulling for LSU to come back at the end. They were close.
Yeah, and what I hate about the ACC scheduling that game between UNC and Wake Forest, it's not a conference game. They didn't make it a conference game. It was just a regular season game between two conference teams, which I don't understand. But, yeah, Wake, the ACC was never getting in the playoff. Even if Wake won out and got to Charlotte, they never would have made the playoff. The ACC has no good teams this year. Maybe, you know, Pitt has been pretty good, but they've lost to Western Michigan. They lost to Miami, who still could win the ACC Coastal. But yeah, I think the game that I was impressed with Oregon, obviously we had my brother come on the podcast on the show last week. He's a club hockey player at Oregon. He had a couple of goals that they played at the Kraken Iceplex, and I was with my buddy in Simsbury after the Wolfpack game watching the game, and he gave the W down when he scored it was like the third goal of the game, I think. And that's what the Ducks did against Washington football. They went back to a punishing ground game. Travis Dye, 211 yards. One touchdown. Anthony Brown played a decent game. And it was an impressive win for Oregon. They were down 9-3, led by a point entering the half, and just buried the Huskies in the second half. But big test for Oregon in a couple weeks. They go to they host Utah coming up. So that will be a big game. Or no, it's at Utah, excuse me. All right, so let's go to the speed round before we go to break. We mentioned A&M. Do we think that A&M has any chance to pass Bama and get shredded by Georgia in the SEC championship game?
I don't think so. I just think Bama's too good, and they're starting to figure it out. They had that one really bad loss a couple weeks ago, but since then, Bryce Young, he's looked pretty good. And their defense has stepped up as well. I can't see it.
I think there's a good chance Auburn could beat Alabama in the last week of the season, just because Auburn has played well against Bama, specifically at home over the last couple of years. They beat him in 2017 to get to Atlanta. They beat them in 2019 to spoil Alabama's chance at potentially getting into the playoff. It could happen again. You know, anything's possible at Jordan-Hare. We all know the kick six that happened a couple of weeks ago. But, yeah, A&M, I think, is a team that's just getting better and better every week. They play very good defense. They run the ball. Calzada's come in and played at a high level. If they could beat Ole Miss, I think that they've got a good chance to go into Atlanta and get absolutely destroyed by Georgia. Because Georgia, we talked about all the top teams having close calls. The one team that didn't have a close call, the Georgia Bulldogs.
How do you beat them? Like, what's the plan of attack?
I don't know.
They're dominant.
I think you just have to play good defense. You have to out-duel their defense, and it's impossible. They've just got a lot of talent on that defense. And because the Braves won the pennant, this might be the year that Georgia wins the college football championship. So
yeah,
who knows?
The curse is gone.
Yeah. the Pac-12 South, is Utah the team to beat in the Pac-12 South?
Ooh. You know, Utah has looked really good, but, you know, looking at it, yeah, I do think they are, because the only other team that's really rivaled them, at least record-wise, I think is Arizona State. USC has kind of fallen off. UCLA, they've had an interesting year. They've had some really odd wins, but they haven't really been consistent. But, yeah, I think Utah's the best team in the Pac-12 South.
Yeah, I like Utah as well. I think Utah, they get Arizona, who just won their first game in almost 2 years, I think. And then they have to host Oregon. They could beat Oregon, and then they get Colorado at the end of the season, whereas Arizona State has that conference loss to Utah, so they would need the Utes to lose twice, and they would need to win out to get to Santa Clara, which is where the Pac-12 championship game is played. But ASU, they have to go to Washington this weekend. Then they have to go to Oregon State, and Oregon State's played very, very well on defense. And then, they get Arizona at the end of the season. They should roll over the Wildcats. Let's see, what else we have for speed round. What's the make of Cincinnati? I mentioned the close call they had against Tulsa. They made a goal line stand to win the game. They're sitting at number 6 right now. The college football playoff ranking should be coming out in a few minutes. But what do we make of Cincinnati right now?
You know, they really battled this weekend against a really not a great team at all in Tulsa. But they were able to get the job done. And, you know, looking at Cincinnati all year, you know, their trademark has really been their defense. They've done a great job in limiting points. You know, the most they've given up in a game is 24 to Indiana. And they're 9-0. You know, I love this Cincinnati team. I think that they got to get their offense going a little bit more, especially, you know, if they're going to make, because I do think that they're going to go undefeated. They have South Florida, who's 2-7. I mean, maybe SMU could give them a battle, but that's a home game that I think they can win. And, you know, I do think that, I think if they go undefeated, they deserve a shot to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, and that SMU game probably would have meant more had SMU been able to beat Houston and then beat Memphis last this Saturday. That did not happen, but still 7-2. I think that they would be rooting hard for Notre Dame to go 11-1. Notre Dame's got a big task this week against Virginia on the road against Bryce Armstrong and a Cavaliers offense that is just deadly, deadly good. But yeah, I think Cincinnati, and the fact that Michigan State lost, Alabama won close, and Oregon won close, that might give Cincinnati, and Ohio State won close, that might give Cincinnati maybe a spot above everybody else. It'll be interesting to see where the rankings put Cincinnati after Michigan State's loss and a couple close wins by Bama, Oregon, and Ohio State. But yeah, I think that they've definitely got a shot to get in. They have to win out. They have to hope that Georgia wins the SEC. They have to hope that Alabama falls out. Oregon and Ohio State could get in, and then Cincinnati would have to win. But watch out for Oklahoma. Oklahoma could catch up on them. If they win, if they went out, including winning the Big 12 championship in Arlington, I think the Sooners would probably get in. All right, last one before we go to break. Where do we find the upset for Week 11? We're 3 weeks away, as I mentioned, from conference championship weekend. We've got some good games this weekend. Where's the upset?
So, looking at it, I don't know if you can consider it an upset, but I do think Penn State can beat Michigan at home.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one. I think North Carolina could stay hot and beat Pittsburgh on the road, too.
Yeah.
That game's coming up on Thursday. But otherwise, yeah, I don't know what else. Maybe NC State over Wake Forest.
Yeah. Yeah, Wake hasn't played.
Virginia could beat Notre Dame.
That was going to be mine.
Don't sleep on that one.
Virginia's offense is so, so good. If Bryce Armstrong's healthy, they should be able to. They're scoring 38 points a game, which is ridiculous against Notre Dame, who hasn't been playing as good as we thought they would be. I would say watch out Oregon because they get Washington State at home. Washington State has played the Ducks close the last couple of years. They've, up until 2019, I think it was, the Ducks had never beaten the Cougars since like 2013, 2014. So watch out Oregon. Watch out Oklahoma coming off their bye, going to Waco. I know Baylor stumbled last week, but Baylor at home could give the Sooners a game if Oklahoma's not careful. And it's an early kick. So imagine if you're Oklahoma, you have to go on the road to Waco and play a noon kickoff, 11 o'clock local time, on the Brazos against Baylor. I would also say watch out for Auburn if they go down against Mississippi State. But the Bulldogs lost a heartbreaker to Arkansas. Auburn got crushed by A&M. How will Auburn bounce back, I guess? Mississippi State could give them a game. They could score. They could play very good defense. The problem is they just can't run the ball. And that's what Auburn's defense does best. So, well, we'll take a break. When we come back, a wild NFL Sunday, much of upsets, couple of hot takes, I think, coming up. And we'll get our picks in as we look to break a 4-4-1 tie. Come up on the Marvel Sports Talk Show. We'll be right back.
Looking for uncommon talent? Meet the grads of life. They're not the typical candidates you're used to, but they're exactly who your company needs. An ideal fit for entry-level positions, internships, and even mentorships. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn more. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
3, 2, 1, go!
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to 98.1 WQAQ.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
Every day, we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good,
others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when something doesn't seem quite right
that it's time to pay attention.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
Who do I perform for? I perform for all the awesome composers whose music deserves to be heard.
I perform for all the stagehands who make sure I never miss a cue.
I perform for our high school choir director who taught me to breathe from the diaphragm and sing from the heart.
Speech, debate, theater, music. The performing arts teach valuable life lessons that typically aren't taught in the classroom. They help high school students learn leadership skills that prepare them to enjoy more satisfying, productive lives.
I perform for Mrs. Evans, my high school debate coach, who has helped me become more confident than I ever dreamed possible.
This message presented by the Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Conference and the high school in your community.
Hey, I've got a question for you. Who will you perform for?
The new WQAQ, 98.1 FM. Everything you want and more straight from the heart of Hamden. This is the soundtrack of Quinnipiac, 98.1 WQAQ.
Hi, is this WQAQ?
No, this is Patrick.
Hey, is this WQAQ?
No, this is Patrick.
Hey, is this WQAQ?
No! This is Patrick!
If you actually want to get in touch with us, give us a call at 203-582-5555. We're WQAQ, 98.1 FM, the soundtrack of Quinnipiac.
Introducing a new day of the week. It's called Someday. Now, everything you were going to do someday is on the calendar. Want to retire someday? You'll want a My Social Security account to help you get ready. Get yours at socialsecurity.gov.
Well, Pandas are losing 7-3 in New Jersey, something that I didn't expect to go happen today. Welcome back inside the Marvel Sports Talk Show, inside the Carl Hansen Student Center, inside Quinnipiac, inside the Carl Hansen Student Center on the campus of Quinnipiac University. I'm David Marr alongside Amber Spezzano. So, week number 9 in the NFL season. You know, this was the midpoint of the season. You think that you got everything figured out this one week, and all of a sudden, no, absolutely not. Didn't see it coming. Ghosts by Sam Darnold. And no. And Aaron Rodgers had COVID, and Jordan Love played the game against the Chiefs. And somehow outdueled Patrick Mahomes in his own building. And then the Titans went into L.A. and just destroyed the Rams. And then the officiating on Monday night. Oh, my goodness. We'll get into that in a minute. That was...
terrible.
How? Like, what? Like, ugh. I would say an expletive, but I'm not allowed to swear on the show, so. all right, let's just dive into it. Let's start with that Chiefs-Packers game. The Chiefs still don't look like the Chiefs. I don't care that they won the game. The Green Bay defense played its hearts out. They held the Chiefs to only 230 yards of offense. Jordan Love had 24 more passing yards than Patrick Mahomes. He also had a pick. Both guys threw touchdown passes. In the end, it would be the Chiefs winning 13-7 at home against the Green Bay Packers. I will say this, if Aaron Rodgers had been in the game, the Packers would have won this game by 30-plus points. Because they didn't, the Chiefs won the game, but still didn't look like the Chiefs that we've been so used to seeing. And I'm really starting to wonder, where's the answer for Kansas City? Where is the magic that Patrick Mahomes has? Where is this... the mojo, where is it? And it's been gone for 8 weeks, and I don't know if we're ever going to see it again.
I mean, I guess if you're looking at this game from a Chiefs fan's perspective, I guess you could say baby steps is the word, because they did a really solid job defensively, especially against the run. They only contained Aaron Jones, who's one of the best backs in the league, to 53 yards. But they finally didn't turn the ball over. You know, Green Bay's defense, though, they did a really good job stopping the run, especially, and putting pressure on Patrick Mahomes. You know, Mahomes only completed about half of his passes, or a little over half his passes, but only for 166 yards. But yeah, I'm still, the Chiefs are not back at all yet, but it's a good win for them, and I want to see how they do. I want to see how they go into their next game.
And I think, as a Chiefs fan, I think that they should be happy that they got the win. I don't think that they should be ecstatic. I think that they should just be satisfied.
They should have won.
Yeah. And the game against the Giants, no disrespect to the Giants, but the Giants game, they definitely should have won that. Mm-hmm. They should have gotten blown out had Aaron Rodgers been wearing his mask and actually followed protocol. The Chiefs have the Raiders this Sunday night on NBC in Las Vegas. And then they play the Cowboys. That could be an interesting game. But... and which we'll get into. If I'm the Packers, I still feel pretty good at 7-2. But, you know, the defense playing its hearts out didn't help Jordan Love, who was a little off in the first half. I think he did find some rhythm. But the Packers used a ground assault against the Cardinals, and that's why they won in Arizona. And I was watching the game. I was like, why didn't they just go back to that? It was a winning formula in Arizona. It should have been a winning formula against Kansas City, because Kansas City historically has not been able to stop the run. And A.J. Dillon had a solid game. Boston College product A.J. Dillon had a pretty solid game. He was not the leading rusher. Aaron Jones had 12 carries, 53 yards. I know the Chiefs' defense is not the Cardinals' defense, but still, it would have been nice to see the Packers run the ball a little bit more. Let's go to the game in Los Angeles. Obviously, no Derrick Henry. That was the storyline for the Titans and the Los Angeles Rams in SoFi. And the Titans showed that they might be the best team in the AFC. We've been looking for the best team in the AFC. I think that there's now a clear-cut favorite with the Tennessee Titans. I props to Mike Vrabel. I am a huge Mike Vrabel fan, and not because he just played with the Patriots, but... his coaching philosophy, coaching every position and helping those guys, it has to be such a confidence boost for this Tennessee Titans team. They went into Los Angeles and destroyed the Rams. Just flat out destroyed the Rams. Ryan Tannehill didn't have to do too much. He only had 143 yards passing and a touchdown and a pick. But Kevin Byard had a pick six. Matthew Stafford tried to one-up Carson Wentz by doing a 360 in the end zone, just throwing it up to the middle of nowhere, and it was picked off. Adrian Peterson got his first touchdown as a member of the Titans. The Titans got severely outplayed offensively, but it was their defense that held down the fort, and I think it's been their defense that has been able to win them these games over the last couple of weeks.
Oh, their defense has been critical. And what was Matthew Stafford doing there? Just take the safety.
Trying to one-up. Well, can I interrupt you for a second? So the NFL, there was an NFL official watching the replay, and he said it on during the NBC broadcast. If Matthew Stafford took the sack, it wouldn't have been a safety because forward progress would have marked him at the one. So it would have been second or third down and a lot longer from the 1 yard line as opposed to taking the safety. But you're right. I don't know why. It's just
a terrible decision. And they
trying to one up Carson Wentz.
I think it was the next drive. He threw a pick six on one of the first plays of the drive. You know, you got to give this Tennessee Titans defense a lot of credit. You know, they put a lot of pressure on Rodgers and, or not on Stafford, not Rodgers.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ryan Tannehill, you know, I think the key for this Titans team is how's their offense going to respond with Derrick Henry being out? And, you know, if they could put up 28 points against this Rams defense, you know, if they could put up over 20 points a game, they're going to be legit. You know, they got to, Adrian Peterson, you know, he had a touchdown, you know, good for him. But A.J. Brown, he's starting to step up. But they're going to need their offensive playmakers in both Brown and Julio to keep playing at a huge level, I think, if they're going to be the best team in this division. Because I do think that the Buffalo Bills will wake up in time. Their schedule is going to get easier soon. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
What Tennessee's going to have to do is they're going to have to have Ryan Tannehill win their games for them. But The Tennessee defense was heavily criticized last year because they didn't put pressure on the quarterback. They couldn't get any takeaways on defense. Yeah, their secondary was good. It wasn't great. And they had two interceptions. One, of course, was a pick six. They had, I think, 5 sacks of Matthew Stafford, which was huge for Tennessee. That's a huge win for the Titans' defensive line. They've got the best secondary in football. They've got an massively underrated defense that, if you think about it, stopped Buffalo on the last play of the game in Nashville, held the Chiefs to 3 points, made 2 critical turnovers against the Colts, and won the game in OT. And then you look at what happened on Sunday. So the Titans' defense is good enough to win them games if they just keep doing what they're doing. And this offense is going to have to allow Ryan Tannehill to do his thing. He's got weapons. And I don't think that they need to abandon the game plan. I think that they will stick with the run as much as they want to. I think Adrian Peterson just needs time to get going. But all right, so that was the game. Let's go to the Battle of Ohio, because it was anything but a Battle of Ohio, and that would be the Browns and the Bengals. The game turned when Joe Burrow got picked off at the 1-yard line and Denzel Ward ran it 99 yards to the house. What a huge win for Cleveland. All the talk about Odell, how would it affect the Browns midweek, playing the Bengals, a team that needed to get right after they lost to the Jets, and the Browns dominated the first half and rode a solid run game to a huge win against the Bengals. The Bengals committed 3 turnovers. They had 11 more first downs, than the Browns, but it would be the Browns who end up winners by 25 points, an impressive win for Cleveland despite all the Odell talk that was happening earlier this week.
Man, what a big win for the Browns. And, you know, Baker said it best. They were able to battle through all the adversity and the chaos that was going on in that locker room throughout the entire week. You know, that was an impressive statement to go into Cincinnati 41-16. You know, that Denzel Ward pick six, that was awesome. You know, I think he had a ridiculous cut to get past one of the Bengals guys on that massive return. I think it was 100 yards. But what a bad loss for the Bengals. That's really, they needed to win this game at home, and they came into this in a position to do so after that terrible loss to the Jets the week beforehand. And, you know, Joe Burrow, he had 2 interceptions. They lost a fumble, and, you know, they couldn't get it done defensively, especially against the run. Nick Chubb with 137 yards and 2 touchdowns, averaging 9.8 yards a carry. You know, Cincinnati might be in trouble, and Cleveland, you know, they may have saved their season with this one.
I'm not ready to give up on Cincinnati just yet. I know that they've still got a young team. It will take time eventually for this offense for the defense to be able to stop the run. It will take time for Joe Burrow to develop and make plays. It just falls on the head coach. I mean, Zach Taylor is not a good head coach. I don't think he was ever the right hire in Cincinnati. The Bengals, I think they need a couple more playmakers for them to be a solid team. But still at 5-4, and the division is still winnable because Baltimore almost laid an egg against Minnesota. But yeah, the division is still winnable. They're 5-4. Obviously, they're going into a bye. Good time to take some time and get their issues straightened out before they play their next game, which is against the Raiders in Las Vegas. So it's Raiders, Steelers, Chargers, and then they get a couple of easy tests with the 49ers and the Broncos. So, but we mentioned it was an upset-filled Sunday. Well, it was, because we had 3 shocking upsets on Sunday. The Bills were 5-2 going to Jacksonville and only scored 6 points against the other Josh Allen and the Jacksonville Jaguars defense. We had the Cowboys with Dak Prescott back, everything going well, and they completely fell apart against the Denver Broncos. They gave up 30 unanswered points before scoring 16 unanswered to, you know, try to cover the spread or make the spread interesting. And then we had the Falcons go into New Orleans and play a classic Falcons-like game and somehow win it in overtime. Not in overtime, at the end of the game with Younghoe Koo field goal to win the game. So who had the most impressive upset, the Falcons, the Jags, or the Broncos?
You know, if we're going to look at it, I mean, I think it was definitely the Broncos. I thought they played the best. You know, they purely just went into They went into Dallas and just dominated them, up 30-0 at one point. The Dallas offense had no answer for the defense. They got stopped on 4th down and short twice by this Denver defense. You know, you got to give them a lot of credit. Teddy Bridgewater had a really good game, 250 passing yards and a touchdown. Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon ran for a combined 190 yards. And, you know, that was a huge win for Denver, who's still alive right now. They're now 5-4. But, you know, I want to bring up Atlanta because it's a point I brought up before. The Atlanta curse may finally be over.
Mm.
You know, it looked like it was going to become just the Falcons' curse because they blew a pretty big lead against the Saints. But then he did it to my Giants this year, hits the game-winning field goal.
Yep.
And then Buffalo, they just didn't show up. And give Josh Allen, the defender, credit. You know, he had a pick, a sack, and a fumble recovery against the other Josh Allen.
That's just ridiculous.
Which is just one of those crazy stories that we're going to be looking back at in a couple of years. But, yeah, a lot of upsets this week.
Yep. And what that does for Buffalo, watch out, because Bill Belichick and those Patriots are right behind him in the division at now 5-4, and they've won four of their last five and three straight. So the Bills definitely took a blow against Jacksonville. This was like the stretch where like the Bills are going to be dominant coming out of their bye. They got Miami. They looked good against Miami in the first half, and then they turned it on because the Dolphins are terrible. And then they went to Jacksonville and just completely laid an egg. I mean, there's no other way to sugarcoat it. I mean, Trevor Lawrence didn't play. I mean, Josh Allen was the leading rusher for Buffalo. It can't just be him. I thought the Bills were better at running the football than advertised, but they got to figure it out. And don't sleep on the Jets. Do not sleep on the Jets. That's who the Bills play this weekend. Do not sleep on the New York Jets.
Especially in New York.
Absolutely not. All right, let's go to word association really quick before we get into our picks. The Giants hold off the Raiders. Word association.
Happy. That's what I was. You know, the Giants are three plays away from being a 6-3 football team. The two offsides plays, they would have won the game in Kansas City. That wasn't even offsides in the game against the football team. Don't even get me started on that, when the guy missed the field goal and then made it because they made a mistake in calling offsides on Lawrence. And then the Adoree Jackson dropped interception in the end zone at the end of the game against the Falcons. A really impressive win for the Giants. And, you know, this guy they picked up on defense, I think Quincy Roche, with the strip sack fumble of Derek Carr at the end of the game to seal the deal. And, you know, Daniel Jones, he was solid, 15 for 20. You know, he did his job, had a nice pass to Evan Ingram for the touchdown. And they're going to get Saquon Barkley back.
Yeah.
And they have a bye this week. Then they play the Bucs on the road next Monday or the Monday night after. You know, if the Giants could get healthy, they have some winnable games coming up after the Tampa Bay game. They could really make some noise in that wild card hunt.
Absolutely. I think the Giants, I'm going to say much needed, because the Giants, you know, they needed this win. They were coming off the Monday night loss to Kansas City at home. And we both picked the Giants to win because we felt like the off-the-field stuff with the Raiders would finally catch up to them, and it did. Right. But the way the Giants played defensively, that felt like the old Giants from last year, where they won the game on defense. They didn't need to do anything on offense.
Pick six was huge.
Yeah, Xavier McKinney. It should have been the Xavier McKinney show, because he had a heck of a game. The Patriots haunted Sam Darnold again. And I think I just gave you a tease. Word association. Really quick.
Ghost. Sam Darnold seeing ghosts against the Patriots again. He's never beaten them.
You should never see the football field again. Put it in a phrase. Sam Darnold's awful. Ravens, overtime winner against Minnesota, really quick.
Thriller. That was a fun game to watch. A lot of big plays, a lot of chaos in overtime, that too many men on the field penalty, a couple punts. That was a fun game to watch. Big win for the Ravens.
Vikings-like. That was such a Vikings way to lose. And Gannon Hannibal on Twitter, we had him on our podcast last year, just reading his tweets, I was like, yep, this is absolutely classic Vikings. They had a 14-point lead, a kick six to start the second half, and what do? They lose in overtime because Justin Tucker is the greatest field goal kicker of all time. Finally, really quick word association, the officiating in the Steelers-Bears game last night.
Steelers money line.
Wow.
That guy leaned into the penalty and then threw the flag on the Bears defender.
Like,
he must have had money in the game. That was terrible.
Pitiful. I'd say typical too, because that's what we expect to see out of NFL officials over the last couple years. They have this funny way of rigging games and making the fans upset. All right, let's jump into it. Week 9 picks. The series is tied because I picked the Philadelphia Eagles. So just to recap, I picked the Eagles to beat the Lions, lost. I picked the Eagles to beat the tiebreaker last week, lost. I will never be picking or be sharing a game of the Philadelphia Eagles ever again. All right, so the bye, Chicago's off, the Giants are off, the Bengals are off, and the Texans are off. So we get Thursday Night Football. So we had such a great show with Packers-Cardinals a couple of weeks ago. What do we get this week? We got Lamar Jackson going to Miami to take on the Dolphins. Andrew, I'll let you go first.
Ravens are going to blow them out.
Yeah, I don't think this won't even be competitive. I think the Dolphins fans should just go home and pray that the Dolphins actually show up, because the Ravens will go in there on a mission and they'll win the game. Titans and Saints. The line is 2.5-point spread on the Titans in Nashville against the Saints.
I like that 2.5-point spread. I think the Titans are going to win this game. You know, they've played really well. The Saints still don't have an answer to their quarterback situation. And, you know, the Saints defense has played better, but I like the Titans a little bit more in this one.
I'm going with Tennessee. I think this is going to be a shootout. I think that the Saints offense will play a high-spirited game. I just can't trust the Saints secondary with those big receivers. And this might be the game that Adrian Peterson gets going, so I like Tennessee. Do the Jags pull off their second upset in a row in Indianapolis, where the Colts are 10.5-point favorites?
I don't think so. I like the way the Colts have been playing. I mean, yeah, they had that rough loss against the Ravens, you know, where Carson Wentz had that disastrous pick, but I just can't see the Jags going on the road and beating Indy.
I think it's closer than 10. I think the Jags' defense makes things interesting. I just don't think their offense only being able to score 9 points last week was concerning against the Bills. And I think Indianapolis needs this game, so I'll take the Colts to win. And I think the Jags will cover. Bills go to the Jets. I mentioned don't sleep on the Jets. The spread is 13. Do the Bills cover against the Jets?
13. I think the Jets are going to keep it close for a half, but then I think the Bills, they're going to get it going. I think the Bills need to win this game. Just an absolutely atrocious loss, and now people are doubting them. I saw it on the shows on ESPN, people saying that they have no identity on that offense. You know, their run game is atrocious. I think the Bills are going to go into MetLife and they're going to win.
I think the Bills are going to win. I do think being at 13, it's going to be a little bit closer just because the Jets play so hard defensively. They'll make this interesting. And their offense can score, yeah. All right, Browns and the Patriots. This is probably the biggest game of the day. The Browns with a load of running backs on the COVID list. This game is subject to change pick-wise. I would be picking the Patriots because it's at home. The Patriots need to win this game. They're right behind Buffalo. And I think they match up well with Cleveland, so I will take the Patriots.
This is a game we were talking about earlier. Yep. I think with the rumors that Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be coming to the Patriots,
right?
I think this is going to be the Odell revenge game. I think he's going to play. He's going to have a big game, and the Pats are going to win a much-needed win over the Browns. But if Nick Chubb plays, I might switch this.
Yeah, we'll
stay
keep
tuned.
You guys. Yeah, we'll keep you guys posted on Twitter to see if we change our picks. As of now, we're both picking the Patriots. Detroit goes to Pittsburgh. I just as much as I believe the Dolphins fans should go home and pray. Steelers big.
I don't know why I wanted to take the Lions over the Eagles.
We both did.
Steelers by a lot.
Yeah. Bucks, Washington rematch of the wild card game from last year. Yeah, Bucks win big.
Yeah, Bucks by 2 touchdowns plus.
Just coming off their bye, needing the win. And they were the biggest winner last week because they watched the Packers lose, they watched the Cowboys lose, and they watched the Saints lose in Atlanta. Atlanta.
I think the Giants are going to give them a game the week after, though.
I do, too. Speaking of the Falcons, they go to Dallas. Dallas is a 9-point favorite. What do you got?
This is going to be an interesting game because the Falcons, they went into Dallas and beat them last year. I think Dallas is going to bounce back. They're going to be really angry after that letdown against Denver. I think Dallas wins, but it's going to be a closer game than 9 points.
Watch out, Cowboys. This is a close. I think it's a shootout, but I think the Cowboys, Dak Prescott, back in the lineup. The Cowboys should win this game. I do think Atlanta's going to cover. Panthers and the Cardinals. Sam Darnold, thank God, is not playing in this game because he's out with a shoulder injury for the next couple of weeks. But the Panthers still have to go to Arizona with a ton of injuries and a backup quarterback.
I think Kyler Murray will be back, and I think Kyler Murray and the Cardinals at home are going to destroy the Panthers.
Yeah, this shouldn't even be close. Kyler is 0-2 against the Panthers in his career, but he's going to get his first win against
them. That's going to change.
And, Vikings go to the Chargers. The Chargers coming off that big win against the Eagles. The Vikings lost in the most Vikings way possible yet again against the against the Baltimore Ravens. The Chargers are 2.5-point home favorites.
I'm going to take the Chargers here. You know, Kirk Cousins just in the past has not gotten the job done against teams that are over 500. And, you know, Chargers coming off that big win against the Eagles on the road, I think they're going to come home and they're going to keep it rolling.
This is the one game I disagree with you. I like the Vikings. I think the Chargers still can't stop the run. Dalvin Cook should do his thing, and I think the Vikings will get the upset. Eagles go to Denver. This will be quick. I'm taking the Broncos just at altitude. I was really disappointed in the Eagles' defense on those last couple sequences, so I am taking the Broncos in the altitude.
Yeah, Broncos are going to win this game. Javonte Williams looks like he's getting comfortable running the football. Beast. And Melvin Gordon, too, is a monster. I think Broncos win this game easily.
The Seahawks go to Green Bay. Russell Wilson is back for the Seahawks. Aaron Rodgers is wait and see. Even if Aaron Rodgers does not play, Green Bay has a better defense than Seattle. Seattle can't run the ball. So I'm taking the Packers in a close game.
Yeah, and it's starting to get chilly up there at Lambeau.
Yep.
And I think this is a Sunday game, 4 o'clock. I think Green Bay is going to win this game.
Sunday Night Football in Las Vegas, the Chiefs and the Raiders. The Raiders have had so much off-the-field problems. They got exposed by the Giants. I think the Kansas City Chiefs go into Las Vegas and get a desperately needed divisional win.
And the Raiders are a team that Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs have beat up on over the years. I think this is a get-right game for the Chiefs' offense, and they're going to start to get it going.
And last week before we wrap up, we've got the Rams and the 49ers in Santa Clara. The 49ers haven't won a home game all season, and I think it stays that way. The Rams are going in a bad mood, so I think the Rams will probably hang 40 points on the 49ers and win big.
Yeah, and the Rams have done a great job on the road this year. I saw it firsthand against my Giants.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Rams go on the road and blow out the Niners.
And with that, that will wrap up another episode of the Marvel Sports Talk Show here on WQAQ. We've got two episodes left. Or actually, we've got one more episode left before Thanksgiving, and then we've got a couple more before holiday break. So be sure to tune in Tuesday nights on WQAQ at 9 p.m. That's going to do it for us. For Andrew, I'm David saying so long. We will see you next week, and enjoy the rest of your week, Bobcats.
It's all a laugh before the moment.